That was awesome, wasn't it? There's a couple of those floating around on YouTube, but that is the original one from 2 years ago that started them all, and that is just absolutely amazing. How many of you have had a good time this morning? You woke up? How many of you woke up before 5? Your kids woke you up before 5? Some people? Before 6? Over here? Yeah, before 6? How about before? Carter, you were up before 6? Well, your mom's usually up at 4, isn't she? And then before 7. Anybody before 7? Yeah, it's us. So I'm sure that if you have a family, most of you have already opened up gifts and you've started this particular season. And this is a great time to actually be in church this morning, I think. This is really what the season is about. It's about Jesus being born and then, of course, dying 33 years later for our sins and rising again. We sang some Christmas songs at the beginning. We sang some new ones, newer, like in this arena of time. And then we sang some old ones. Joy to the World is an old one. It's actually a Christmas carol about the second coming of Christ. And then we talked about O Holy Night, which I thought was great. And so Seth, who is on staff with us, I don't know if you know that or not, if you're visiting, he's on staff with us, and his newly commandeered wife, it led that for us, and that was incredible. But those old Christmas carols have a lot of meaning to them. I'm not saying the new ones don't, but they have a lot of meaning, and they were really based on Scripture. One of them that we talked about on Friday night was the one, What Child Is This?, which is one of my favorites. And so this message is What Child Is This? Part 2. For those of you who were not here, kind of to bring you up to speed, that tune was not originally written by the guy that wrote the words to What Child Is This? It was written by somebody else, and it was a bar tune. 100 years before it became a Christmas tune. And it was a bar tune about a man that just lost the love of his life because she went somewhere else. I don't know exactly what happened. But saying that original Greensleeve song has no less than 36 verses to it. So throughout time, everybody added their own verse about how their relationship broke up and how horrible it was and how they still loved that particular person. So that's where that tune comes from. But about What Child Is This was written, however, the guy took that tune because everybody knew that tune, and he added religious words to it. And so here are some of the words that he added to that song. What child is this who laid to rest on Mary's lap is sleeping? That is a great question. I would dare say that is a question that a lot of people ask from time to time. Who is this child? Who is Jesus? And why is he so important? You might be visiting here with family today. You might know family that you're going to see this afternoon, and they have this question concerning Jesus. Who is he and why is he so important? Why in the world would a group of people on Christmas Day decide to come to church and worship Jesus? Are they crazy, or is there something to it? Is he real, or is he not real? The author that wrote the words to What Child Is This answers that question in the first verse. This is what he says. Whom angels greet with anthems sweet, while shepherds watch are keeping. This is Christ the King, whom shepherds guard and angels sing. Haste, haste to bring him laud. By the way, laud is applause. The babe, the son of Mary. Now, what passage of Scripture would have angels showing up, angels singing, and shepherds? Anybody know what chapter that is in the Bible? I heard Luke. That's Luke 2. So take your Bibles and turn to Luke chapter 2. What child is this? Luke chapter 2. We're going to begin reading with verse 8. Luke chapter 2, verse 8. And this is what it says. And in the same region, there were shepherds out in the field keeping watch over their flock by night. And an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone round them, and they were filled with great fear. And the angel said to them, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord." What child is this? Well, he's a Savior. He's a Savior. Now, if you're wondering if Jesus is real or not, and we often have the discussion whether or not Jesus exists or not, I have a better question for you. Why should the human race exist? Why should we be here? Why should we be left here? It seems to me that the human race messes up everything. It seems to me that all our problems and all our sorrows and everything bad that happens in this world is tied into the human race at some level, right? It is us who are doing wrong. It is us who is bringing pain into the world. It is us. The question of is God real or not is really at this point kind of irrelevant, because if he doesn't exist and we are all that is here, we have a big problem on our hands. We cannot control the political movements. We cannot control things outside of the church. We cannot control people being robbed. We cannot control death. We cannot control sickness. We cannot control hate. We cannot control anything. We cannot make anything better at all. And you have a big problem. So why do we exist? The only solution to the world's problem without a God is for the whole human race to go extinct. If the whole human race went extinct, at least we'd still have animals and trees and grass and birds. But if the whole human race went extinct, the world's problem would be solved. But there is a God. And that God looked at the human race and decided not to take them out of existence because he loved his creation. Long when he created Adam, and he knew that Eve was going to eat of the tree first, and then Adam was going to eat of it later, and it was going to throw the whole human race into sinfulness and hurt and pain. Long before that, he decided to create the world anyway, and he decided to send a Savior because he loved his creation. He loved you, and he loved me. God exists, and God sent his Son in an appointed time, and he sent his Son to be a Savior. There is nobody else that can save the world but Jesus. There is nobody else that can put this world straight and make things right, except for Jesus. Donald Trump on January 20th is not going to be able to set the world straight. Jesus is going to be able to set the world straight. And any opposition will be wiped out, and righteousness will reign, and things will be the way it should be. Jesus, a Savior. I'll tell you this, and I love every one of you, but I can't think of a one of you that I would die for. Except for three people in the room. Possibly my mother-in-law. Possibly. And possibly my father-in-law. They're like on the list out here. But there's only three people I might jump in front of a bullet for in this room. The rest of you, I'm heading out the door. Okay? I love you, but not enough to die for you. Jesus loved you enough to die for you. He loves you more than I love you and more than anybody else in this world loves you. He sent a Savior. So who is this child? He's a Savior. Second, here we go. Who is this child? Well, in that verse, verse 11, it says, "Who is Christ the Lord?" Christ the Lord. You know what I find with Christians sometimes is they never make Jesus Lord of their life. They never give him full control of their life. They accept Jesus as their Savior, but he never becomes the person that they go after, that they follow, that they obey. We tend to have other lords in our lives. Our job, our finances, our status in life, and we go after that. But Jesus Christ came in a manger to save you from your sins so that he could be your Lord and Master. It is not so that he could have a bunch of slaves. He's not into slaves. He's into free people. He wants free people that love him and follow him into a better existence. Jesus Christ is Lord. A lot of Christians do not follow him. A lot of Christians do not obey. A lot of Christians run away from Jesus Christ as Lord and do not follow him with all their heart, all their mind, and all their soul. If you're one of those believers that could give or leave Christianity, my appeal to you this morning is to make Jesus your Lord and begin to follow him to the best of your ability and take that seriously. I don't follow anybody but Jesus. He is my Lord. He is my Savior. And that is who this child is. We'll keep reading. Verse 12. And this will be a sign for you. You'll find a baby wrapped in swaddling clothes and lying in a manger. Do you know how many babies were wrapped in swaddling clothes in Bethlehem? A lot of them. Okay? A lot of them. Do you know how many babies in Bethlehem were in a feeding trough that night? One of them. Swaddling clothes and lying in a manger. Why is that so important? It's important because he wanted to make sure the shepherds knew where the Savior was. God has always been trying to tell the human race where he's at. He has always been giving them signs. He has always been giving them direction. He has always been trying to show them that he is real and he is there and he is somebody that you pursue. He's done it so specifically that you can't miss him. It's Christianity. It's Jesus. It's the church. It's not any other type of religion. It is Christianity. It is Jesus. It is the church. You cannot find him in Buddhism. You cannot find him in any other religion in the world. You can only find him through his son, Jesus Christ, wrapped in swaddling clothes and lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with an angel, a multitude of heavenly hosts, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among those whom he is pleased." When the angels went away from them into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let us go over to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has made known to us." And they went with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the baby lying in a manger. And when they saw it, they made known the saying that had been told them concerning the child. And all who heard it wondered what the shepherds had told them. But Mary treasured up all these things, pondering them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all they had heard and seen as it had been told to them. Verse 22. And when the time came for the purification according to the law of Moses, they brought him up to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. As it is written in the law of Moses, "Every male who first opens the womb shall be called holy to the Lord, and to offer a sacrifice according to what was said in the law of the Lord, a pair of turtle doves and two young pigeons." Now there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon, and this man was righteous and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit was upon him. And it had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. And he came in the Spirit into the temple, and when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him according to the custom of the law, he took him up in his arms and blessed God and said, "Lord, now you are letting your servant depart in peace according to your word, for my eyes have seen your salvation that you have prepared in the presence of all the peoples, a light of revelation to the Gentiles." Who is this baby that is born at Christmas? He's a light to the Gentiles. He's a light of revelation to you and me. Here's what I know. You and I would never find Jesus unless he found us first. That's what I know. We are so drawn to our sin nature. We are so drawn to doing wrong. We are so drawn to being blinded. We would not find Jesus unless he found us first. That is what a light does. I gave my son, and I don't know if this is a good idea or not, I gave him a tactical flashlight for Christmas. Have you ever had a tactical flashlight hit your eyes at 7:15 in the morning? It's kind of striking, right? But in the darkness, if you turn on a flashlight, you can see where you're going and not trip over things. You can see where you're going and where you're at if you have a flashlight, if you have a light. If it is dark all around you, you don't know where you are. Jesus came to be a light of revelation to us, to say, this is where you are, and this is where you should be going. This is where you are, and this is the life I offer to you. This is where you are. Come follow me as your Lord. Begin a relationship with me. A light of revelation to the Gentiles. I am glad that Jesus found me. I'm glad that Jesus found me. Now, if Jesus finds you, you have to choose to follow or not. You have to choose to accept him or not. But that's all you have to do. Jesus finds us. He's a light of revelation to the Gentiles. Check out what else he says. And the glory of your people, Israel. And his father and his mother marveled at what was said about him. And Simeon blessed them and said to Mary, his mother, behold, this child is appointed for the fall and rising of many in Israel and for a sign that is opposed. And a sword will pierce through your own soul also. Who is this child? He's appointed for the rise and fall of many. Would you like to know why your stand for the Word of God and Jesus and the truth is always met with resistance? It is because of this. The child that came here, that grew up and died, that now resides inside of me, is in opposition to this world system. This world system is falling and fading away. It is defeated. And when the world system gets defeated, they cry about it. They cry about it. And you've seen this recently at the news. Okay? Everything is wrong. Everything is bad. You don't like, I mean, it's absolutely unreal. The fall of many. When somebody wins, the opposition comes back and they're crybabies. Ugh. And they fight it. So if you're at school and you're standing for Jesus, you're going to have opposition. If you're in this life and you're in your business and you're standing for Jesus, you are going to have opposition. There will always be tension in your relationship with Jesus and the world. Always tension, because the world is passing away. The world is defeated and Jesus Christ has risen and we are the victors. He's appointed for the rise and fall of many. Amazing thing. So, verse 16. And there was a prophetess, Anna, the daughter of Phanuel. His last name was Graft. Of the tribe of Asher. And she was advanced in years, having lived with her husband 7 years from when she was a virgin. And then as a widow until she was 84, she did not depart from the temple, worshiping with fasting and prayer night and day. And coming up that very hour, she began to give thanks to God and speak to him, to all that were waiting for the redemption of Israel. The redemption of Israel. I know this week, unfortunately, we did not do our part as a nation to protect Israel and the people there. I know that we did that. as a nation. I know that you didn't choose to do that, but we're in a nation that chose not to protect them. Okay, that's just the download. I'm not really concerned about that. I'll tell you why. The baby that was born here is always going to be for the Jews. Always. And they might be scared right now, and they might be running, and they might have cause for concern. I'm not saying that. But this is what I know. The God in heaven chose the Jewish people. Even though sometimes they ran from him and didn't do the right thing, he chose the Jewish people, and he is going to protect the Jewish people. And the best thing a country can do is be on the Jew side of things. It's the best thing a country can do. Second, he chose the Jews so that you would not miss Jesus. Did you know that? That's why it's so important. That's why he keeps them around. That's why he protects them. Because he promised that a king would come from the Jewish race, not from the Middle East, the Jewish race, not from Mexico, the Jewish race, not from America, the Jewish race. And that is a nation of people that might not have land sometimes, and they might have land, but they will always be around, because when Jesus comes back, that is where he is setting up his kingdom. Come on, church. So we might be disturbed about the news of us not helping them as a nation, at least for the next couple of days, right? But God is on their side, and God will fulfill his promises. He will fulfill his promises. So, what do we do with this child? Well, we adore him. We worship him. We adore him. That hymn says this: so bring him incense, gold, and myrrh. Come, peasant king, to own him. The King of Kings salvation brings. Let loving hearts enthrone him. Let loving hearts enthrone him. You know, we have a tendency to love things that don't mount up to a hill of beans. We allow ourselves sometimes to put other things on the throne of our hearts other than Jesus. The call of the Savior today is for every Christian in this room to make sure that Jesus is central as Lord in your heart, and that he is enthroned in your heart, and that is what you're worshiping and nothing else. We adore Jesus Christ. We adore him. That song also says, come haste to bring him laud. That's applause. Everybody clap. I'm not getting on to you at all, but we're Baptist and we're not really sure about that clapping thing after the worship songs. We're just not sure. So we had one person start clapping, and then Seth said it's okay to clap. Look, you're not clapping for the people on stage. You're clapping because of that worship song touched your heart, and you're clapping for the Savior. If anybody deserves applause, it is the Lord Jesus Christ. It's the Lord Jesus Christ. What do? Well, we do what the shepherds did. We go and tell people about Jesus, and we remain excited about it, right? Remain excited about it. And you tell people in the best way you can. The reason you saw that video at the very beginning of this message is because those kids were doing it in their own lingo, in their own way. Now, they were off on a couple of details, like titty shoes, right? Not so sure that happened, but they still had the essence of the story of Christmas in their hearts. And all God requires of you is to tell the story in your way to other people and let them know the reason for the season. It doesn't take a biblical scholar. It doesn't take somebody that knows a bunch of stuff. It takes you sharing that Jesus was born in a manger, and he's my Savior, and he died on Calvary for my sins. It's very simple. Look, I do realize that that's preacher words. You got to use your own words and tell other people about your love. This is something that should excite us more. And I know every kid in this room isn't going to understand this. More than getting up and opening up those gifts on Christmas morning. This is something that should excite us more than anything else in this life. is that a Savior came and decided to become the very thing he created. In order to save you and me. Let's pray.